Welcome. For the rest of you, welcome back to another edition of Wellness in the New Millennium. My name is Dr. Jason Uchida. I'm a doctor of naturopathic medicine, and I'm your host of this program on alternative medicine. Yes, I'm back for another round of health, wellness, and alternative medicine. Yep, I guess you could say that I'm a glutton for punishment, or maybe it's that you who loves the agonizing punishment of this hour of health and wellness. Anyway, it's good to be back on the air with you after a month break. The weeds have been plucked out of the yard, the garden is producing greens, the window screens are in, the picket fence is mended, and the house paint is dry. To say the least, a lot has happened during the last month. But let's talk about the things that really interest you, such as what the topic of discussion is for tonight. I got to tell you that I'm very excited about tonight's program. I'm sure you won't be disappointed. Tonight our topic is about a disease conventional medicine has no cure for. Its cause is unknown, and it's progressively debilitating and may lead to death. Tonight, our topic is systemic lupus erythematosus, also known as lupus or SLE. Also, we have a special guest joining us to share her story of pain and debility and what she did to heal herself naturally. But let's take a few minutes to talk about the topic of the next few weeks. It's brought to you by the leaders in the health, wellness, and alternative medicine industry. Nutrix Hawaii, producers of BioAstin, the natural astaxanthin and organic spirulina pacifica powder, crystal flakes, and tablets since 1983. Pan American MOA Foundation, promoting true health through art and beauty, nature forming, and Jorei, the medical art of Japan. Rejuvena and Quality International, producing quality skincare products to repair damaged skin and stretch marks. The Good Health Store, it's more than just a health store. Enzymatic Therapy, producing innovative quality supplements for your healthcare needs. Gaia Herbs, makers of liquid phytocaps, the concentrated herb extract in a capsule. Down-to-earth natural foods and deli, caring for your health since 1977. Dr. Alex Concepcion and the Back to Health Chiropractic Center, serving Hawaii one spine at a time. And the Island Wellness Center, the chronic illness specialists. Please stay with us as tonight we discuss systemic lupus. Let's take an important sponsorship break with our friends from Down to Earth Natural Foods and Deli, Enzymatic Therapy, and Gaia Herbs.
To Dr. Jason Uchida of Island Wellness Center. Dr. Uchida is trained and licensed as a doctor of naturopathic medicine and has been in private practice for the past 14 years. Naturopathic physicians are the only doctors who are medically trained in the use of herbs, vitamins, and minerals. Dr. Uchida is currently a member on the State of Hawaii Board of Examiners in Naturopathic Medicine, and you may direct appropriate letters and phone calls to his office located at 615 Pi'ikoi Street, Suite 1114, Honolulu, Hawaii 96814, or phone 589-1955. You may also email Dr. Uchida at wellness@pdchawaii.com.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida, and you're listening to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. Tonight, we're discussing a devastatingly progressive and debilitating illness, systemic lupus erythematosus, also known as lupus or SLE. In a few minutes, my patient Elsa will join us to share her painful and inspirational story of recovery from lupus. But what is systemic lupus? Lupus is one of many different types of autoimmune disorders. Others include rheumatoid arthritis, scleroderma, Sjogren's syndrome, Graves' disease, psoriasis, fibromyalgia, and chronic fatigue syndrome, to name a few of the most common and well-known. Autoimmune diseases are caused by the individual's immune system attacking some kind of foreign invader called an antigen inside of the body. It's during this immune system response or attack that collateral tissue damage takes place. The collateral tissue damage occurs because as the immune system cells dissolves the foreign invader, the area or tissue that this confrontation between the immune system and the foreign invader takes place is damaged. The tissues that are damaged in lupus are the skin, joint, lungs, kidneys, heart, nervous system, and the mucous membrane lining. The typical conventional medical treatment is corticosteroids and chemotherapy drugs that suppress the individual's immune system from attacking the foreign invader, thus only slowing down the attack and tissue damage. Unfortunately, conventional medicine only slows down the inevitable. Because the treatment doesn't address the cause of the disease, The steroids and chemotherapeutic drugs only manage the disease, and the drugs must be taken for life. And they have very dangerous side effects that may be worse than the disease itself. My question is, has anyone thought of trying to figure out what those darn foreign invaders are that triggers the immune system's attack in the first place? Stay tuned and we'll talk about what happens when you do eliminate those darn foreign invaders. At this time, I'd like to introduce my patient, Elsa. Elsa, welcome and thank you for joining us and sharing your inspirational story tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Elsa, when were you diagnosed with systemic lupus?
I was diagnosed in 1999, right after I had given birth to my fourth baby.
Fourth baby. Wow. Because Elsa is quite young. I believe you're a little bit younger than about 35.
I'm 36.
36. So you were diagnosed fairly young with lupus. How were you diagnosed? What lab tests did the medical doctor perform on you to diagnose you?
They eventually did. I went to a dermatologist because one of the first symptoms was just a rash I had on my face.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there, and previous to that, I was talking to my primary care physician because I had some arthritis symptoms in my hands, and he didn't really know what it was. But the dermatologist is the one who thought that I had lupus. So I went back to my primary care physician, and he just ran an ANA test and a couple of other tests that were more specific to lupus,
mm-hmm.
and those all came back positive.
Okay, they all came back positive. So I have a chance to kind of share with everyone which tests were positive. The ANA titer, the anti-RNP, post-DNA, and the anti-SS titers. So those are just synonyms for lab tests that if you have a few of them come back positive, basically you do have an autoimmune disease.
Right.
Yeah. Elsa, there are many people listening in who are probably thinking to themselves, Elsa is recovering from lupus, you know, naturally. So her condition couldn't have been very bad to begin with. Would you share with us what type of pain and the symptoms you suffered from and when did they start affecting you?
My third trimester is when my hands started to get pretty sore. A lot of people thought it was carpal tunnel syndrome that a lot of people get in their pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was mild, but it was just every day, so it became kind of a nuisance. I could blow dry my hair, and I had to stop because it was too painful.
Mm. So just blow drying your hair?
Just blow drying my hair. And doing anything consistently for more than a few minutes was typing on the computer, anything.
Wow.
So it was more of a daily thing. It wasn't consistent. It wasn't really painful, but it was just always there. After Abigail was born, then I started getting arthritis in other joints, my elbows and my shoulders. And again, it wasn't terribly severe. It was all the time.
It never went
away.
Okay.
I couldn't sleep. And then I started to get very tired because I couldn't sleep at night. And I associated that with having a newborn. But I know part of the time I would wake up was just because I would feel so sore,
mm-hmm.
not that my newborn was waking up.
Mm-hmm. So your sleep was quite disturbed.
Very. I was waking up. I probably never got more than an hour's sleep at one time throughout the night.
Okay.
So during the day, it was just fatigue. It was probably fatigue from lack of sleep, but it was a different fatigue, too. It was like a heaviness. Like I was carrying weights all day long. So I was just always tired, no energy. If I just laid on my couch, I still felt tired. there was no relief ever. And that was probably the biggest thing. I just couldn't do anything.
Okay. And you also mentioned to me that you had periods that you felt totally exhausted.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was the arthritis pains I could kind of deal with, you know, because it was always there and I could brush that aside, but the fatigue was enormous. And then having four kids, it was intolerable. There was nothing I could do about
it. Right. I mean, just having four kids in itself is a feat. But when you also have a autoimmune disease that really does produce a lot of fatigue, it just compounds that effort.
Yeah.
What other symptoms did you have besides the joint pain and swelling and the fatigue? And these started about 3 years ago, too.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You also had quite a bit of swelling in your ankles and fingers.
And fingers, yes.
Mm-hmm. Could you kind of explain how much swelling that was?
It It wasn't so bad that I think people noticed, but, like, I couldn't wear my wedding ring. There were times I would have to take it off.
Mm-hmm.
My hands got so swollen I couldn't close my fists all the way.
Mm-hmm.
My ankles were swollen. That wasn't as much noticeable. My feet would get swollen, so there are times when I couldn't wear my shoes because they were just too swollen. So that created a lot of pain.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, if you can't put on your shoes because of the swelling, something has got to be fairly swollen. Systemic lupus is associated with a facial rash. Did you have that?
Yeah, that was one of the early symptoms, and I related that to just, I thought, maybe I have acne or some form of that adult acne that they talk about. But I had a rash on my face. I also started getting a rash on my arms, and that was getting very itchy and then painful after that. I would get a little bit of a rash in my inner ear, like on my scalp, little places that I didn't, you couldn't see them, but you could feel them.
So those are key points to mention, mainly because the listening audience, if they've been listening ongoing for, let's say, 3 or 4 years, and they've heard many of my patients come on the air, a few of them always mention itchiness in the ear and also on the top of the scalp, and that's a key symptom for me when I'm diagnosing somebody with an autoimmune disease, with maybe what could be causing the whole problem in the first place. You also mentioned you had blotching, too, on your skin. Would you explain that?
Yeah, that there was no pain involved in that, but just I could look at my skin and it was just kind of red blotches. Maybe I had been overheated, or sometimes you get that when you're really cold.
Right.
But it was more annoying because, you know, you could just see that your skin was all blotchy.
And I guess it would kind of look like, for people who've never seen that before, almost like a fishnet type of appearance, a big, big-eyed fishnet appearance where the net would be on the skin would be the redness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you also had generalized itching for about 6 months.
Yeah, everywhere. I mean, I had itching where my rash was, but just overall, I just felt itchy and very uncomfortable. I couldn't sit still without feeling itchy. I just was never comfortable, just sitting still.
Yeah, you always felt like you had to scratch somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. And you also suffered from frontal headaches.
I had a lot of headaches. I had a lot of headaches, frontal headaches, but they were really deep, so it kind of spread. I mean, I don't know what a migraine was like, but it was kind of close. It didn't lay me out, but it was the headaches for Tylenol, ibuprofen, those things didn't really work. No.
And you suffered from them ongoing for 3 years?
Pretty much. Almost every day I could count on getting a headache at some point.
Almost every day.
Yeah.
Would you describe the pain and, you know, dull, achy headaches or throbbing headaches?
All of them. Usually they were dull all day long, and then they could get throbbing. They could get sharp pains.
Mm-hmm.
It really varied, but it was always at least a dull pain.
Okay. And you also suffered from dry, irritated eyes throughout the day for about 3 years.
Eyes and my mouth, too, would get very dry.
Mm-hmm. And that's just, again, all of these actually are part of the lupus, systemic lupus syndrome disease picture. You also had suffered from frequent colds in the previous year before you came in to see me.
Yeah, I was getting sick a lot. I was probably sick more than I wasn't sick. And if someone had a cold, I would get it, regardless.
Uh-huh. And to let the listening audience know, you had mentioned to me back in August when you first came in that you had 7 colds, whether it was sinus or lung colds, in the last 12 months, which is quite often.
It was a lot. Yeah, it was a lot of cold. And the duration was long, too. It wasn't just a 5-day, a week. It would last a good two weeks. 2.5 weeks.
Wow. Yeah, okay. So a very weakened immune system.
Yeah.
You also had cold intolerance to the fingertips, and they would turn white.
They would turn white and get very numb. And I could just be in a grocery store. I didn't have to be in extreme cold, anywhere, someplace where the air conditioning was on.
Okay. And medically, we call that Raynaud's phenomenon, and that's also part of the systemic lupus symptom picture. And you also had easy bruising.
Yeah, I bruised very easily, and people would laugh because I could bump into something, and the next day I'd have this huge bruise anywhere. I always had a bruise. If you looked on my body somewhere, I would have.
Uh-huh. Okay, and you also suffer from hoarseness.
Yeah.
I guess since about January of 2001.
Right.
Okay. And you saw me in August of 2001.
Right, yes.
Okay, for the first time. So the reason why we cover all the symptoms is because, you know, they're very important to understand that what I look at when I treat my patients is not just lupus. You know, I'm not just after the diagnosis, because that means nothing to me. I also want to see the other symptoms that maybe the other medical doctors really don't look at. So because that tells me or gives me clues to what may be actually causing the lupus in the first place. And I'm sure the listening audience is beginning to it's coming to them that these symptoms that you've mentioned, they've heard before from many of my other patients. And these other patients have come on and they talked about fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, scleroderma, allergy problems, chronic fatigue syndrome. And everyone seems to have the same symptom picture. But the primary area of damage is a little bit different for everyone. For instance, with lupus, maybe the skin and some of the joints. Rheumatoid arthritis, the joints. Chronic fatigue is mainly the fatigue. And fibromyalgia with a lot of pain. Elsa, would you tell us what type of treatment the rheumatologist recommended for you?
He put me on Plaquenil. Well, he initially put me on prednisone because the joints and the swelling was so severe. And I was on 5 milligrams of prednisone daily.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taking 200 milligrams of Plaquenil daily, too.
Mm-hmm. Quite a heavy dose.
Yeah, and he was also giving me a lot of ibuprofen, a lot of different, I can't remember some of the, Feldene was one that he would give me.
Okay. How were the results from the medications?
They helped some. The rash went away. You know, the arthritis wasn't as bad. It was still there, but it did take the cut off of it. The prednisone definitely helped, but the prednisone made my rash, the itchiness, worse. There were other symptoms that I didn't like, and I also didn't like that I was going to always be on them. They couldn't give me a point that I wouldn't have to be on those medications anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why did you choose to pursue natural treatment over conventional medical treatment?
Because I didn't want to be on the medications. They weren't helping me enough to, I think, overlook the cons of being on medication that I don't know what the long-term effects were.
Right.
And I just didn't like not feeling healthy. I would take the medication, and maybe some of my symptoms went away, but I still didn't feel healthy. I still felt like it was just covering up the symptoms, and that's not how I wanted to live.
Okay. And that's true, because I'm pretty sure if you asked your medical doctor, I'm not sure if you did or not, you asked him if the prednisone and the other medications that you were taking was going to cure you, I'm pretty sure he would have said no.
Well, they absolutely said it wouldn't cure me, and they didn't even know how the Plaquenil helped the lupus. They just knew that it did. And that wasn't enough for me.
Okay. So going back to your symptoms that you mentioned, so you were feeling pretty sore, and your lupus was pretty bad.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was daily. It was every day. And it was constant. There was no relief.
No relief. Okay. I first saw you in August of 2001. What did I determine was causing your symptoms and the lupus?
You said that I had systemic candida.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it was really a change in diet.
Right. And that's basically the treatment. And we also looked in your past medical history. And I think the reason why I decided that it was a systemic candida infection is because I think back in 1998, you had an ankle surgery.
Right.
That you obviously had to take antibiotics for.
Right.
And then I guess after that point, your symptoms started to get worse.
Right. Well, I got pregnant right away, too, right after that.
Right after the ankle surgery. Okay. And there's always, when a lot of women also do mention that their symptoms are worsened after pregnancy, mainly because there is a hormonal surge, and the hormones do feed the fungus. Or they cause the fungus to grow faster. So that's typically why the symptoms become aggravated at that time. So also, what did you think of the diagnosis of a systemic fungal infection causing the lupus?
Well, you know, I don't think I felt completely positive. I would think I was skeptical, but because there was no other choice for me, I thought, well, I'm going to try it because he looks, you know, intelligent enough. So I committed to doing it. And just, but in the back of my mind, I knew I wasn't sure if I was going to see results, and I knew that I could always stop if I didn't see results.
Okay, well, that's fair. Because I would think almost anyone, especially after the medical doctors tell you there's no cure, you're going to have it the rest of your life, and you have to take these medications, which will only slow the progression down.
Right.
That you're probably thinking, this guy's crazy if he thinks that you're going to get better just on.
Right.
And we'll talk about the treatment in a few minutes. But you're tuned in to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida. Tonight we're discussing what you can do to treat systemic lupus naturally. Stay with us, because when we come back, I also will tell you what treatment she used to help herself recover from lupus. Let's take a very important sponsorship break with our friends from New Tricks Hawaii, Qualitree, and the Good Health Store.
Welcome. This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida. You're listening to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. Tonight we're discussing systemic lupus, and our special guest Elsa is telling us how she's beating lupus naturally. So Elsa, would you tell the listening audience what treatment I recommended for you?
Well, you basically put me on a diet that eliminated a lot of high allergy foods and sugar and a lot of things that I was eating. So that was the biggest thing that stood out. And there were just some supplements that helped fight
the fungus.
Candida. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was the diet easy?
It was not easy, not to start anyway, because there were a lot of foods on there that I liked.
Uh-huh.
But there were a lot of foods that I liked on your diet, too, so
mm-hmm.
that made it easy. And
okay.
So the first week was easy. The second week got hard because there were a lot of, I started having a lot of cravings for the foods that weren't on the list. But it really got easier and easier.
As it went along. You got used to the foods, I guess.
Right.
And let's kind of talk about the diet real fast so that the listening audience can kind of get a grasp of what your treatment was like with the diet. So basically, we eliminated all simple carbohydrates, which are basically sugars, and they are things like cookies, candies, cakes, pies, pastries, as well as noodles and bread, as well as white rice, fruit, dried fruit, and juice and soda.
Okay. Right.
So that's a big part of most people's diet right there.
Right. Well, you know, I wasn't big on, I think the cookies and stuff were fine, but
mm-hmm.
I was, the white rice and noodles, I ate a lot,
okay.
and then the fruits were really big.
Okay. And also the food allergens, or the foods that we eliminated because they could be potential food allergens, are wheat, dairy, corn, soy, peanuts, cashews, pistachios, pork, beef, chicken, mushrooms, vinegar, alcohol, and tomatoes, eggplants, bell peppers, and white potatoes. And that is what really makes it hard.
Right.
Yeah, because you probably were eating a lot of tomatoes.
I was eating a lot of all of those foods.
All of those foods.
Yeah.
Okay. And the reason why we need to eliminate the sugar is because we want to kill the fungus. If you don't eliminate the sugar, the fungus will not die. And we eliminate the food allergy, potential food allergen foods, is because we want to see results. And I don't know which foods you're allergic to. The lab tests that we have aren't accurate enough. They only are accurate to the degree where they'll pick up 70 to 80% of the allergies that you have, which isn't good enough for me, because that means that 20 to 30% of the foods that we test on the IgE tests are going to be wrong. So that could lead to basically failure, because we're probably going to be eating some foods that you are allergic to. So the only way we can really see good results is by eliminating all the potential food allergens. And we also gave you some supplements, basically to kill the fungus and also to strengthen your digestive tract, because when you take corticosteroids, antibiotics, and estrogens, you kill the bacteria that we need in our small intestines, and then the fungus grows. And how I know this is because it says in every medical book that I ever read. And I'm surprised that most medical doctors don't know of this, because it's right there in the book. And I think I showed you the sections where that was in the medical books.
You did,
okay.
Yeah.
Did that help?
It helped a lot. I mean, you were very informative, and so my doubts weren't because of lack of understanding
mm-hmm.
and explanation. It was just new, because
okay.
you're right. I had explained that to my doctor, what I was doing, and he completely thought it wasn't true.
Yeah.
You know, he thought if you had food allergies, that it wouldn't come out in other symptoms other than digestive symptoms.
Ah, yes. So. Oh, yes. And I guess he's learning a little bit.
He's amazed that I'm feeling better, but he thinks it's because I'm in remission or you know, it's not the...
Okay. Were you ever in remission before?
I was never, no.
Okay. Okay. What did your husband think about the treatment and the diagnosis at that time, after the first visit?
Oh, he completely thought it was crazy. He thought that, you know, spending the money on supplements was crazy. He thought that the diet that I was on was crazy. But my family just saw me getting better. And, you know, and there was no other reason, because I was taking less of the medication as time went on and, you know, I was staying on the diet. So he really liked what
you
said.
Were doing.
Yeah, and he started eating like me, you know, when I was around. And so it was good. I really felt like he was helping me.
So he was supporting you.
He was very supportive, yeah.
So also, what type of improvement did you get after 2 weeks of being on the treatment? I don't know if you remember. I can kind of help you if you get stuck in places.
Gosh, I don't know at what point I was feeling better, because now I feel so much better. I can't remember. I know a lot went away and just very quickly.
After 2 weeks, this is what you told me, you felt 75% total improvement. And is that a big amount for you at that time, after only 2 weeks?
That was huge, because I think I would have been satisfied with just that, think, at that time.
Ah, okay. Yeah. You said that the fatigue was 85% better.
Yeah.
You said it was a lot better.
That was the first thing that went away.
Yeah. So okay, we'll talk about that later. And you said your joint pain, the knees, shoulders, and ankles, you had none.
Right.
And your hands and fingers, the swelling had decreased, as well as the stiffness.
Right.
Okay. And you said the facial rash was a lot better.
Yeah, that was almost gone.
Almost gone. And the arm blotching, you said you didn't have any.
Yeah, that was gone.
Okay. You said the itching was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you hadn't had any headaches.
Very rarely. Yeah, uh-huh. Hardly any.
Okay. You said your... the dry, irritated eyes were only irritated and dry at night now.
Back then, yeah.
Back then, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And you didn't have any colds.
No.
And we had decreased the Plaquenil to 75 milligrams.
Right.
Okay. So at 2 weeks and having that much improvement, what did that mean to you?
It was huge, because I was doing just about anything I wanted to do. And I almost felt like I didn't have lupus. I you know, there were still some symptoms that remained, but they were so minuscule compared to how I was feeling,
mm-hmm.
that I really was satisfied. I thought if I didn't get any better than this, I would be able to live life. I was happy.
Basically, because now you could do things that you weren't able to do before.
I was doing everything. I was away. I didn't have to take those afternoon naps, you know, and I was up for my kids, and I was alert at night, and it was very nice.
Yeah, Lynn, one of my patients who came on because she had rheumatoid arthritis, I think you mentioned that you had listened to her show when she came on.
Right.
That was probably the most satisfying thing for her, too, was because now, after the treatment, she can now do the things that she wasn't able to do with her son. And that was the biggest reason why, actually, she wanted to go on that program.
Right.
So many of us don't really realize how lucky we are to be able to do the things we can do without any pain or fatigue. And I guess, you know, now you having no or very little, if not no pain and no fatigue, you can see the difference in how you feel now.
Oh, yeah. Even now, compared to when I was 75% better, I mean, I'm glad I didn't stop there, because I feel, other than just maybe something here or there, I don't feel like I have any kind of a chronic illness, so it's great.
That's significant, because it's been about, what is it, 7 months from when you started?
Right.
Okay. So did you think the treatment was working at that point?
After 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was huge. It was huge, yeah.
Did you think you'd have that much improvement in 2 weeks?
I didn't. I was very skeptical. I didn't think I would see much results at all, and... But I'm glad it came quickly, though, because it really motivated me to stay on it, because I was that skeptical.
Yeah. So not everyone gets that kind of improvement, though, I have to tell you. And I think mainly because, you know, you had it for a long time, 3 years, but not as long as other people. You know, some
right.
people might have lupus for 10 or 20 years, and I don't think their progress would be as quick. Like Lynn's, I don't know if you remember
right.
her show. She had the rheumatoid arthritis for about 15 years. And she didn't feel any better until, I shouldn't say any better, but she didn't feel significantly better until about, I think it was about 7 or 9 months into the treatment. And she just hung on there, hung in, mainly because she felt she had no other option.
Right.
So I'm glad it worked really fast for you. Elsa, after 10 weeks on the treatment program, what type of improvement and results were you experiencing? Do you recall?
I don't even know, because it's just like a blur now.
Okay. So let me kind of refresh your memory, because I have the benefit of your notes, or our notes, when you came in after 10 weeks. You said in general you felt 90 to 95% better improvement.
Right.
And what that meant was you had no fatigue, zero. You felt normal.
Right.
The joint pain to the knees, shoulders, and ankles were gone.
Right.
Your hands and fingers were a lot better, so I guess not 100%.
Right. Those are the things that those lingered on.
Okay.
Yeah.
The facial rash or the butterfly rash was gone.
Right.
You had no arm blotching anymore.
Right.
No itching.
None.
No headaches.
None.
Is that amazing to you?
That is, because I just thought that was the way of life. Headaches, at least. You know, I thought everyone gets headaches, but to be able to go weeks without one.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Because you had them almost every day.
Every day I had them.
Yeah. Did you think the headaches would go away from just, you know, going on a different diet?
No, I never thought diet, period, had
anything to do with headaches.
Yeah, with the symptoms, a lot of the symptoms anyway.
You know. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of my patients are so amazed when headaches disappear and chronic allergies and asthma disappear. So headaches is one of, like, an allergy symptom that a lot of people aren't aware of. The dry, irritated eyes, you only had them at night still.
Right.
You hadn't had any colds for 10 weeks.
Not that, yeah, no.
Have you had any since?
I had one, but it was so mild. It really went away quickly.
Okay. So is that impressive to you, not having one mild cold in the last 7-8 months?
Very. Yeah, for it to come and go as quickly as it did. To have four kids, you know, that are just in
oh,
and
yeah.
out with all kinds of things that they catch and then not catch them.
And these are young kids, right?
Oh, yeah.
Have. And they have colds and flus?
You know what they did? They had little colds. This wasn't as big a sick season as it usually was, but they did get sick, and I managed to get through most of them.
Okay. And you had no sore throats?
None.
And the bruising went away?
That went away, and that was surprising because I had that for so long, you know, that it was just such the norm. And one day, I don't even know what made me realize that, but just to look and say, hey, I don't see any.
And you're not getting them still?
No, I'm not. And it seems so minor, and people might think, oh, my bruise. But, you know, to always have one,
yeah,
not.
Ongoing all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is significant to me because those are the things that I look at. I look at every symptom because, to me, no matter how small a symptom may be, it leads to a very big clue. And that's why I like to look at all the symptoms. Your numbness and tingling in the fingers, you would have just on occasion.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
How is the coldness to your hands and feet now? Hands and fingers, I should say.
How do they react to the cold?
Yeah.
It takes a lot more of extreme temperatures for me to be affected by that now. Mm-hmm. I have to be cold for a long time.
Okay.
And then
it comes on?
Yeah.
Okay. And the Plaquenil, how much are you taking of that now?
None.
How long have you been on none?
Oh, gosh, how long now? I don't remember. I know it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been about 4 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it's impressive that you're not taking any medications and yet you're feeling about 90, 95% better?
I'm very impressed because from when I first heard the diagnosis and the prescription from my doctor, you know, I thought for sure I would be on it for a long time. So to not be on anything, not ibuprofen, not prednisone, they're all sitting in my cabinets, but they're just sitting there, you know.
Very good. So what are your thoughts about the progress that you've made so far?
There's no words. I knew you were going to ask something like that, but it's just, I'm just amazed. I'm just happy. It's a huge difference. I'm so glad that day I saw your, you know, someone had told me about you, and I went in because I wasn't going to, but it really changed my life from being sick being healthy, and unless you've been that sick, you don't know what a joy it is to be healthy.
To be healthy.
All the
yeah.
time, you
and
know.
Yeah, just to be able to do the things you want to do whenever
right.
you want to do them. You're tuned in to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida. Tonight we're discussing systemic lupus and what you can do to help yourself recover from it naturally. Stay with us as we take another very important sponsorship break with our friends from the Pan American MOA Foundation and the Back to Health Center.
Hi, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida. You're listening to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. Tonight we're discussing how you can recover from systemic lupus naturally with my patient Elsa. If you have a question for Elsa or I about systemic lupus, please give us a call at 524-1080. Elsa, it's been about 8 months since you started this treatment program, and I know you already kind of shared your thoughts about your improvement, but do you feel now that you're addressing the cause of your lupus?
I feel like I'm in control, definitely.
Okay.
I feel like I don't have to rely on prescriptions or what people don't know about it mm-hmm. to make me feel better.
Did you feel out of control before?
Oh, I did, because I don't feel like the doctors knew how to help
how to
lupus.
Treat it.
So if they didn't know, and I didn't get any feedback, and there wasn't anything out there to read, so I definitely felt I was at the hands of somebody who didn't know how to cure or help the illness either.
And this was a rheumatologist?
It was a rheumatologist, and yeah, but I've been to 3 different rheumatologists.
Okay.
And they all have the same diagnosis. They Plaquenil is kind of the set standard, but they don't know why it helps, and they don't have any other suggestions
mm-hmm.
to help it.
How did you feel when you kind of had the, the feeling that your rheumatologist didn't have a handle on the lupus for you?
It was scary because, you know, to be diagnosed, to be told that you have this chronic illness that you'll have forever, and it could become very severe, but I don't have the answers, and it's scary because you don't have anyone to fall back on, and I don't have the knowledge to take control. I just felt sicker, but with no hope.
Mm.
And that's a scary place to be.
Yeah. Do you feel you have hope now?
Oh, absolutely. Just because I feel so much, I feel better, and I know that continue to feel better, it's me doing the things that I need to do.
And that's important.
It is.
Because now you have the feeling that you have the control.
You're right.
You can have the control to get well and feel good or not to.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess you're choosing to keep following the treatment and the diet.
Right. Yeah, I choose to be in control, which is what I, you know, it's not a good thing all the time, but.
Okay. So give us an idea if you feel the improvement is permanent or not.
I don't know. I know that it's permanent, I think, as long as I can control the candida is kind of what I'm feeling.
Right.
So I do know that if I was to get off of your diet and eat the way I was eating, I think that my symptoms would come back.
Okay. We have a caller on line one. Let's hear from Todd. Todd, you're on the air with Elsa and me.
Yes, doctor.
Yes.
I smoke, and this is really for Elsa, but I smoke, and I'm desperately trying to quit, and I've tried and tried just about everything, and I can't. What can you suggest?
Oh, boy. Stopping smoking is always one of the toughest things to do. One thing that you can try is auricular acupuncture. Have you tried that?
I haven't tried any of that, no.
Okay.
No.
Auricular acupuncture has fairly good results. And what they do is it's kind of an ongoing treatment. Maybe you need about like 10 visits. And they stick needles in your ear. And you may not need the 10, though. But within 10, you're going to be feeling a lot better about having more control over your urge to smoke.
Can you spell that, please?
Auricular spelled A-U-R-I-C.
B?
C, as in cat.
Okay.
U-L-A-R.
A-R.
You can just call a few acupuncturists and ask them if they do the stop smoking treatment by putting the needles in the ear.
Okay.
Okay.
anything for like nutrition or diet or anything like that too?
Yeah, diet would be very helpful. You want to try to eat a healthy diet because when you have all the essential vitamins and minerals, your body has less cravings. So again, I would recommend that you eat more fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
And as you start feeling better, maybe even start cutting out some of the sugars.
What about supplements or anything like that?
Yeah, a good multiple vitamin always helps.
Okay.
And so I would recommend going to a health food store as opposed to going to Safeway or Long's Drugs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any particular brand of multiple vitamins?
You know, I use different ones from the ones you get at health food stores. I'm not sure what they carry there, but you can try enzymatic therapies or phytopharmaca brands. They typically have really good quality supplements.
Phytopharmaca?
Phytopharmaca with a P.
Okay.
All right, Todd, thanks for your call. Good
Thank
luck
you.
To you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Elsa, so what does your husband feel about alternative medicine now?
Oh, he loves it. I think he's on a ship right now because he's in the Navy, but he gets tired very easily. And so the other day he was like, I think I need to go see your naturopath. They'll see Dr. Uchida when I have time, though, because he's really busy. But so you see a difference in his attitude.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's seen a big improvement in you.
Yeah.
And before we sign off the air, what would you say to anyone who has lupus or other autoimmune diseases?
I would say not to settle for what the medical doctors tell you. And, you know, I would recommend talking to you or a naturopath just to see what the different options there are.
Great. Elsa, I'm sorry to say that our time is up. You've been a great guest. Elsa, thank you for sharing your inspirational story with all of us tonight and about recovering from systemic lupus.
Thank you, Dr. Uchida.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure, and I wish you'd continue good health and success. Next week, we're going to talk with Kelly Moorhead, leading authority on astaxanthin and spirulina pacifica. Nutrex bioastin and organic spirulina products can be found at the Good Health Store. Next week, the antioxidant of the new millennium, bioastin, the natural astaxanthin. Wellness in the new millennium is brought to you by Nutrex Hawaii, the Pan American MOA Foundation, Rejuvena, the Good Health Store, Gaia Herbs, Down to Earth Natural Foods in Delhi, Enzymatic Therapy, Dr. Alex Concepcion and the Back to Health Chiropractic Center, and the Island Wellness Center. Please stay tuned. Nutrition in You is up next. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida. Thank you for joining me, and I look forward to being with you next Sunday on Wellness in the New Millennium on K108.